Okay. Mr. Whitehouse.
Our next public hearing this evening is case number 12,416. Jessica F. Peake seeks variances from the front yard setback requirements for proposed structures, the landscape buffer requirement in the combined highway corridor overlay zone, and from the number of required parking spaces, sections 115.82, 115.162, 115.182, and 115.194.1 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the east side of Coastal Highway, that's Route 1, approximately 300 feet south of Jefferson Bridge Road. The 911 address is 32967 Coastal Highway, Bethany Beach. The zoning district is C1 General Commercial, and the tax parcel ID is just District 134, Map 17.11, Parcel 40.00. Specifically, the applicant is requesting the following: a 55-foot variance from the required 60-foot front yard setback requirement for a proposed golf course structures, and two, a 15-foot variance from the required 20-foot landscape buffer requirement for the combined highway corridor overlay zone, and three, a variance of 119 parking spaces from the required 125 on-site parking spaces, leaving a total of 6 on-site spaces and 44 shared spaces with the adjoining site. Staff would note that we've received 5 letters of support, 0 letters of opposition, and 3 mail returns. The letters of support are from local residents, noting the benefits of having such a use within reach of Bethany Beach. Thank you.
May I begin? Hello again, Madam Chair and board members. My name is Mackenzie Pete, and I'm associate attorney with Tunnel and Razor. I'm here tonight representing Nick Drasmus, who seeks 3 variances for the development of an 18-hole miniature golf course, 9 of those holes being handicap accessible on an approximately 0.46-acre parcel located on the east side of Delaware Route 1, approximately 300 feet southeast of the intersection of Delaware Route 1 and Jefferson Bridge Road, just south of Bethany Beach. The land is currently zoned as C1 General Commercial. The C1 district requires a 60-foot front yard, 5-foot side yard, and 5-foot rear yard setback. The property conforms to the district's minimum lot requirement of 10,000 square feet. This property is situated near residential uses like Sea Colony and a number of commercial uses, including but not limited to restaurants and hotels. Such commercial businesses include Cottage Cafe, Finn's, Next Door, Mickey's Family Crab House, Bethany Beach Inn, Holiday Inn Express, and Bethany Beach Ocean Suites. I would like to introduce the applicant, Nick Drasmus, and project manager Mike O'Neill here with me tonight. Nick is the 24-year-old founder of Nick's Mini Golf, a family-owned business in existence since 2015. We received 5 letters of support, as Mr. Whitehouse said, and I'd like to draw your attention to 2 of those. The first, submitted by hotel manager at Bethany's Holiday Inn Express, described Nick's business as a, quote, quality business run by quality people, both with an excellent reputation throughout Delmarva. The second letter, submitted by general manager for Bethany Beach, Ocean Suites, a residence inn by Marriott, described his business as a, quote, first-class operation that will lend well to the family atmosphere. Bethany Beach continues to provide both visitors and the local community, end quote. Nick currently has 6 miniature golf courses located throughout the Delmarva region, and he employs around 30 people. For reference, Nick's most recent approval of a miniature golf course is located in the site where Ed's Chicken used to exist in Dewey Beach. There's now a miniature golf course there, and that is one of Nick's golf courses. And I've also attached to our application Harris Miniature Golf packet, just showing the process for the miniature golf course development. Mike O'Neill, the project manager for the construction of the miniature golf course, is here. He has over 40 years of experience constructing amusement parks and recreational uses like this one. And he's here to answer any questions you may have about the construction process. I would like to have Mike and Nick swear in first, and then I can go through each variance.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Nick Gerasimus, 13001 Riggin Ridge Road, Ocean City, Maryland.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Michael O'Neill, 11648 Gunpoint Road, Berlin, Maryland.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we are before all of you tonight seeking approval of three variances before our next hearing date of March 12th, before the Planning and Zoning Commission for a conditional use approval. The first request is for a 55-foot variance from the front yard setback requirement of C1 for proposed structures. The second request is for a 15-foot variance from the landscape buffer requirement of the combined highway corridor overlay zone, abbreviated as the CHCOZ district. The third and final request is for a variance from the parking requirement of the Sussex County Code, Section 115-162. We're specifically asking for a reduction in the number of required spaces. If it's acceptable, I'd like to start with the front yard and buffer requirements first and then end with the parking.
We're going to start with the front yard?
Yes.
Okay.
The first request is for a 55-foot variance from the front yard setback requirements of C1 for proposed structures, Sussex County Zoning Code Section 115-82. The lot is unique with an irregular shape. The lot is shallow and narrow to the south and wider to the north. The property is located along the Route 1 corridor within a teardrop-shaped commercial area bordered on the east by Route 1, bordered on the west by South Pennsylvania Avenue, and bordered to the north by Jefferson Bridge Road. Because of such physical circumstances and condition, there's no possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformity with the provisions of the zoning code or ordinance. The unique shaped lot with an irregular shape being shallow and narrow to the south and wider to the north does not allow the 18-hole miniature golf course to be built within the front yard setbacks of the C1 district. And the approval of variance is therefore necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. Three, such exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. The property's shape exists in this way prior to the applicant's proposed lease and use and proposed use of the property. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood or district. The property is zoned C1 general commercial, and surrounding lots are also zoned C1, with one exception of an adjacent lot being zoned MR residential, but we are not violating the setbacks on that side anyways. The proposed use will provide recreation to the greater Bethany Beach area for residents as well as vacationing tourists during the summer season, and all letters of support submitted express that the golf course will add to family atmosphere of Bethany Beach and expand leisure tourism in the region. Finally, this variance will represent the minimum variance that will afford relief to allow for a development of an 18-hole miniature golf course. The golf course design requires relief only from the front yard setback here and the buffer requirement. Also notable is that this is a seasonal use property. That is the end of my first request. Are there any questions with respect to the front yard variance request?
Are there any questions from members of the board?
How is the traffic going to be? I mean, I see where you're going with this, but on the north end, that's mm-hmm. where the traffic's going to be directed to come in?
Yeah, there's actually there's two entrances. There's one in the front off of Route 1 right here. So essentially,
you won't be able to use that.
Can you use that?
I doubt.
So right here?
Yeah.
And then there's also, there's also an entrance here. And then there's also further south, if we could zoom out, you can get in down here and cut over as well and access the property through here. Because there's three different ways to get in if you weren't coming in off of Route 1.
But aren't those owned by different people?
Actually, the one of the partners on the project is actually owner of the back parcel, and I will address that with respect to shared parking towards the end. The current use actually does use the shared parking now. The landlord of the property had used that parking lot in the back for spaces, and everyone within this area uses each other's parking and space.
The liquor store?
Behind the liquor store. Mm-hmm. But the liquor store, that's where we're proposing to have this use. Beach Liquors moved across the street, actually.
Hmm. Okay.
So, understanding you, where the Hickman Plaza is, mm-hmm. you're suggesting that people can just go in and just enter through there and then come back through the where the Walgreens is?
Yeah, there's the Walgreens, there's CVS, there's the hotel entrance. There's multiple ways to access that parking lot area in the back. I actually went to the property over the weekend, and I really believe that, yeah, that you can enter through, I mean, that way if you were to come in.
There are signs there that say that you cannot park there unless you're going to this specific business.
We haven't.
So the Hickman Plaza, I've lived there my whole life.
Okay.
So Hickman Plaza is not going to allow you to park there and go play golf. But we'll get to that. We'll get to the parking.
A lot of complaints about congestion in that area anyway.
Okay.
So she just went over the 55-foot variance from the front yard setback. Are there any questions pertaining to that specific detail?
Madam Chair, I would just like to wait and listen to her whole presentation because she may be able to answer some of the questions that I may have.
At the end.
And I prefer just to do that. It's easier.
Okay. Go ahead.
Next, I'll address the second request for a 15-foot variance from the landscape buffer requirement of the combined highway corridor overlay zone, abbreviated as CHCOZ, section 115-82. The minimum buffer requirement for all developments in this district is 20 feet. As required by the code, we submitted a landscape plan inclusive of indigenous landscape plantings from Macrone Engineering. The lot is unique within a regular shape. The lot is shallow and narrow to the south and wider to the north. The property is also located along the Route 1 corridor within a teardrop-shaped commercial area, bordered on the east by Route 1, bordered on the west by South Pennsylvania Avenue, and bordered to the north by Jefferson Bridge Road. Because of such physical circumstances and condition, there is no possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformity with the provisions of the zoning code. The unique shape lot within a regular shape being narrow and shallow to the south and wider to the north does not allow for the development of the 18-hole miniature golf course to be built within the buffer requirement of the C1 and CHCOZ districts. Such exceptional practical difficulty, as I mentioned before, was not created by the applicant before the proposed lease or use of the property. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. Vegetative areas will remain where feasible during construction and post-construction. Additional landscape plantings indigenous to local areas will be included in the landscape plan for the proposed development of the golf course in compliance with the code section 115-194.1. This variance will represent the minimum variance. As I said, vegetative areas will remain where feasible during and post-construction, and additional landscape plantings will be provided, as shown in the landscape plan and in compliance with the section of the code. Should I move through the next one? Okay. Finally, the third and final request is for a variance from the parking requirement of Sussex County Code Section 115-162. We are specifically asking for a reduction in the number of spaces required. Before addressing each element, I would like to point out that the zoning code does not provide for a parking requirement for an outdoor commercial use like the proposed miniature golf course. The zoning code only provides for a parking requirement for an indoor commercial use under Section 115-162. Director Whitehouse and I did discuss this point, and we are in agreement that the code does not specifically provide for a parking requirement for a miniature golf course, but we are in agreement that an indoor commercial use is the most closely related use to our outdoor commercial use. And we are also in agreement that if we were here with an indoor commercial use, that we would be required to have 125 parking spaces, as the code requires one parking space for every 150 square feet of floor area, or one parking space for every 4 seats of patron use, whichever is applicable. Knowing that, I stress that there is a distinction between outdoor commercial use and indoor commercial use. We will not require anywhere near the number of required parking spaces for an indoor commercial use. In fact, most of the patrons attending this will be coming from communities like Sea Colony, where they already have their cars parked, hotels where they already have their cars parked, from restaurants where they may have their cars parked. And we believe that at most we will need to account for 2 cars per golf hole, meaning that at most we would need 36 spaces. I've included a parking plan that shows ample parking spaces, 6 on-site spots, and 44 off-site spots available for those traveling to the miniature golf course that are not living or staying within walking distance. As I said, I visited the property over the weekend. All lots are connected and it's safe. It's not like people would be traveling across Route 1 to gain access to the property. People would be coming in from this backside. We request a variance from Section 115-162 of the parking requirement for our outdoor commercial use. The uniqueness, irregularity, shallowness, and narrowness of the lot do not allow for on-site parking. The applicant will provide ample parking on nearby lots as shown on the shared parking plan submitted. Because of such physical circumstances and condition, there again is no possibility that the parking can be located on-site, but the parking can be located off-site. The applicant is able to provide 50 spaces, 6 on-site and 44 off-site. Other residents and hotel guests will have already had their cars parked at home or hotels, and they will not require parking. Again, the applicant has not created this exceptional practical difficulty. The property is zoned C1. Off-site parking will not harm the essential character of the neighborhood, as there are other commercial businesses with similar shared parking arrangements. And finally, the applicant, the variance will represent the minimum variance that will afford relief and will represent the least modification possible. The applicant proposes providing 50 spaces, 6 on-site and 44 off-site.
Does that conclude your presentation?
That concludes my presentation. I'm welcome to questions.
Who would like to go first?
Do you have any letters from the other owners that they could park there?
We actually have a lease between one of the owners in the back.
Do you have
as
that
a tenant? No, it's currently not executed, and I will not be submitting it because it's still under negotiation.
So we cannot.
Yeah.
So we can't don't have a lease act yet. On that.
Yeah.
Because we don't have.
You don't have any proof that.
That's going on. Okay.
Or the parking.
What's on site now?
On site now is Beach Liquors. The landlord is Jackie Peak, and then the tenant will be Nick and Mr. Jack Burbage.
There's
who does own significant property
there?
Around there. There is a billboard there.
That be staying, going?
That will be staying.
Mm-hmm. I can appreciate you went and looked at this. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen this in the summer?
Yes.
It is an absolute madhouse.
We did also, as a part of our conditional use application, get a letter from DelDOT that shared that stated, I believe you can confirm as well, that this wouldn't be an increase in traffic, according to DelDOT, I believe.
Correct. So this will, no matter what happens, have to go through the Planning and Zoning Commission for the use. And it's quite common that if that were to succeed, for a condition to be placed requiring the site plan to be approved, and as part of that process, you need agency approvals.
Is this the only drawing that you have? You don't have it. This is all you have?
Yes. If I could, we received from the Department of Transportation. They stated, based on our review, we estimate that the above land use will generate fewer than 50 vehicle trips in any hour and fewer than 500 vehicle trips per day. I can submit this into the record if you'd like to see this.
How do you know that people won't be coming across Route 1 to go to that golf course?
We expect most people to come from behind the UCC colony.
But do you have any data that?
We do not have data saying that people won't cross the highway.
That part of C Colony right there on the water is about a tenth of actual C Colony that's coming right across Route 1.
So there's no letter or lease to substantiate the shared parking at this time?
At this time, no. But that is something as well that could be addressed in and at our conditional use hearing.
But if you don't have it from here first?
I understand. And by then, the lease, to be honest, was supposed to be signed today, and there was another term that was being negotiated, if I'm being completely honest. And we hope to have it.
We could always
and we could
keep the record open until March 2nd for that information.
That would be great, yes.
So the buffer, Have you, because you're right on Route 1?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit more about the buffer that you propose?
Sure. We submitted a landscape plan from McCrone Engineering. As you can see, there is buffering provided for along the edges, and then there are additional plantings provided for throughout the golf course. Additionally, I mean, the entire surface is permeable surface. I know that's, and then the there will still at least be some sort of border along the edge here of the, as depicted on the landscape plan.
Are there any other questions from members of the board?
So there'll be some sort of fence or just trees or what have you?
Can we put a fence around the golf course?
Yes. There will be 8-inch pilings in diameter with rope going through them and then black netting behind it.
How tall would the netting be?
It'll be 42 inches tall.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that, I mean, I guess this isn't, it's just miniature golf, so.
Unless they get wild.
Well, I'm not very good at miniature golf, so I need all the tall fencing I can get.
Mr. Sharp.
So, looking at this, the argument here is that, you know, there needs to be some uniqueness to this property. And it strikes me when I look at this that this entire project is basically in the front yard. We have a 55-foot variance from the 60-foot front yard setback. Yet what appears to be the rear yard, or it, and I admit the property has a shape that we don't normally see. It's not square or a rectangle. But the area that perhaps could give a buffer from Route 1 to the golf course, that area is just being used for parking. Was there any consideration of flipping it so that where the buffer area would be and where that front yard setback area would be could be used for something other than the golf course?
That parking would come along the front side instead of the back side here.
Right.
So that parking instead of being here would.
And can I guess to tee it up for you this way? This board, one of the exact requirements that you have to meet is that this is the minimum variance to afford relief and that there's no other way you could develop this property.
Gotcha.
So when I look at this site plan, what I see is everything's being pushed to the front yard and that's where you want the variances from. Whereas the rear yard, where there would appear to potentially be some space if this thing was pushed back, is not being used, at least for the golf course.
What we did on the design was use the same driveway as Beach Liquors coming off of Route 1, and that's why the parking's over there. I think it'd be a lot harder to park them further south coming off of Route 1. We did it so you can come off into the same driveway you always did and then park there, and that's why it was done.
Okay. Are there existing barriers or anything? Because looking at that aerial, I don't see it.
No, sir.
Where there's not curbing or anything?
No, actually, the driveway is a lot wider, and, you know, there's nothing. There's no shrubbery or anything there.
Okay. So, essentially, other than where the entrance is, you've largely got a blank slate upon which to work.
Yes.
And even if we were to push the property back, we would then be required to get a rear yard because we would arguably be in the 5-foot setback in the back. I mean, the lot is irregularly shaped, and it would end up being in the back. Do you know what I mean? It would necessitate a rear yard setback.
If at this point you're not anywhere, I don't know how far you are from the rear yard, but you're certainly
5 feet. We're already 5 feet. We're within that. So we only have, it's required in C1 to have a 5-foot, so our proposed
So where the kiosk and those parking spaces are, that's...
It's going to butt up to the rear yard setback.
If you were to shift it and flip it, that's not something that could be done?
I don't believe so, sir.
Did you look at doing a smaller golf, a smaller mini golf course? Does it have to be 18 holes?
Generally, golf courses are 18 holes, and that's what we'd like to try to get.
Do you have an 18-hole golf course at Dewey Beach? Because that's a little piece of land.
Yes, so...
Unless it's going to be elevated, go up in the air. Do you have 18 holes there?
Yes, yes, there's 18 holes at Dewey Beach, yes.
Wow, they must be right on top of one another.
It's tiny, it's tight.
All righty, well.
So you would never consider doing a nine-hole?
So this then could be, if you can get 18 holes at Dewey Beach, you could redo this. Because this land, this parcel is bigger than that up at Dewey Beach.
It is bigger, but it's differently shaped as well. And there's different
right.
conditions, obviously, so right. it's a different parcel.
And I believe that one's in the town limits
it
of Dewey, correct?
It is within
correct?
The town
so
limits
this isn't
of
subject
Dewey,
to
so it's a different, exactly.
Yeah, it's different.
And maybe to address the nine-hole thing, out of, it would put me at a complete competitive disadvantage because every other golf course in the area is 18 holes, from what I remember. There's one old pro that's 27 holes, but besides that, all the competitors are 18.
The one at the corner of Lighthouse and one or...
I believe that's also 18, yeah. Also, tight course, but...
Yeah, it is.
So most of your courses are 18 holes?
All of mine are, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just feel that with the busy highway that Route 1 is, and you are right on top of the road, and you don't have a lot of parking, and you're going to be using the existing entrance off of Route 1, that I mean, could be an issue.
There is access, though, obviously from the other direction as well, which I would like to point out. And I would again like to point out that the code does not necessitate a certain number of spots for our outdoor commercial use.
Well, here's, I understand your point, Ms. P, but here's a question. The neighboring properties that you're going to be sharing parking with, what are those properties used for?
Hotel parking in the back. And then, honestly, this the 40 spots we're proposing, it looks like everyone could theoretically park in that area.
I understand that, mm-hmm. but one of the things that we also have to look at is you're sharing it with a property that's being used for something else. So
yes.
that one in itself is going to have their own parking
and they
requirements.
Actually,
are they underparked, mm-hmm. overparked? What do we know anything about if they meet their parking requirements?
They have other parking that wraps around in...
I understand that, but the question is, do they have sufficient parking for their existing
use?
I
cannot speak to their the sufficiency of their parking.
Now, Mr. Whitehouse, as I understand it, any of the shared parking agreements, those have to be run by the commission. Is that correct?
Correct, as part of the site plan.
So, all right. So I guess if the board were approved what's being proposed, it's not contingent on a shared parking arrangement by the commission.
So we don't currently have a shared parking arrangement, but it's suggested there will be one. So
we had discussed as well that this request was specifically for a reduction in parking, and then we would address the specific shared parking at the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes, but we want to see it before we give permission.
So the commission also have the power to modify parking requirements.
Okay.
And the board have the power to grant a variance from the parking requirements. So there is always the fallback position that this issue on parking could be moved to the commission in receipt of further information. So, but we don't currently have one, if that answers your question.
Unless, yeah, I suppose the board could approve it, or if the board were inclined to approve it, could approve it on the condition that a shared parking agreement, you know, be approved by the commission. So if that doesn't happen, then the board can deny it.
Yeah.
But that being said, we still don't have any information as to the availability of spaces on the neighboring property.
Correct. And the commission would expect to see that if it goes before the commission, in the same way the board is asking questions about it now.
Well, I am familiar with the area and the parking situation at some of those locations. The one on the end by Jefferson Bridge Road, which is Mickey's Crab House. Mm-hmm. There's not enough parking. They park in this 44 space area there. That I don't see how. I think this would be a very popular place, and I don't see that there's going to be enough parking. The hotel's there at the corner of Pennsylvania and Jefferson Bridge Road. They have to have parking for their people that are staying there. And then you come down to the pharmacy. When you get to the pharmacy and you get to the there by Dunkin' Donuts and then Hickman Plaza and all down there, you can't park there unless you're there for that business. They even have people going around checking to make sure that you're really going to that one, you know, whatever business there is because of the parking situation.
If I may, it's our opinion that we're asking for a request from the 125 that we discussed. We again believe that we'd only need 1 to 2 spaces per hole, so max 36, and we think that majority of the patrons would already be parked. And I just would like to emphasize that as part of your consideration.
I disagree.
Okay.
I mean, the Mickey's Crab House, they also park across the street in 54 Bethany Dessert Furnishings. That backs all the way up in the Sea Colony. I mean, if you think you're gonna park in the Hickman Plaza, they're gonna tell you.
I got a couple questions. Are there any sidewalks around there?
There are not sidwalks.
There's no multimodal paths?
There's not.
All right. Are there any proposed for this application?
There are not.
All right. Are there? How far is the front property line to the edge of paving or rear one? Is it right on it?
Yes.
All right.
There's not a bike lane on the side on Route 1?
I don't think there is a bike lane there, if I recall correctly.
There's a crosswalk right there.
Yeah, but Jefferson I don't think Bridge. There's a yeah, designated bike lane.
Would be nice if you could put it where those parking spaces are and put your parking spaces on Route 1.
Which is outside of our lot.
But that would
hence
be
my reasoning and my argument that it is a uniquely shaped lot and we
there you
are
go.
Seeking the front yard variance, buffer requirement variance, and the reduction in parking.
All right, if the board has no other questions and Mr. Sharp has no other question, let's move on and see if there's anyone here. Is there anyone here in favor of this application?
Oh, you know, I do have one thing, because I apologize, Madam Chair. Ms. Pete, you've made some statements. Do you have a witness to affirm your testimony?
Yes, I do. Nick, if you could come. Nick, do you confirm that everything I said that was true today?
I do.
Thank you. Just want to make sure we add it for the record.
No one here in favor of the application? Is there anyone here in opposition? Okay. Would you two like to speak? If you so, please come forward and be sworn in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Paul Ringer, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. Steck, if you want to come on up, we'll get you sworn in too, and then you can go after Mr. Rieger.
Good evening.
Good evening. Is
Mr. Rieger, hold on a second, I'm going to swear at Mr. Steck, and then you can go ahead.
Sure. My name is Keith Steck, 210 Lavinia Street, Milton, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is what I'm questioning is, One is with the conditional use, why that wasn't done first before the variance for approval, whether it would go there and then come in for the variance second, or if the variance has always come before the conditional use, or to change the zone. It's like when, with the hospital.
So, through you, Chair, in this case, there was a discussion with the applicant that the conditional use, to a degree, depends upon the variances, and that is the order that we're proceeding in.
Okay.
But they're different applications for different matters. So one is to consider the use, the other is to consider the area and bulk requirements on the lot. So there's no harm in doing them either way. So.
And with your, you put conditions on your variance, on the variance or the conditional for the parking, you can always, this is going to be two-part. I'm going to agree with the first one and not agree with the second. And this concerns parking. P&Z can control parking, correct? They can do the same decision that the Board of Adjustment can do, right?
No, the Planning and Zoning Commission do not have the ability to alter the combined highway corridor overlay zone buffer requirement.
So on the highway, they can't touch that one? It's not like a regular
The forested
commercial.
Buffer requirement comes here.
Okay, so they can't reduce that. Now, as far as the Board of Adjustment approving it, could it be, here's where I'm going for the parking. Could, now if County Council wants something a little different for parking, can they alter the parking after that?
Yes.
So they could,
theoretically, yes.
They could approve or deny it, approve it with the amount of parking spots that you say, or deny it because they want two more parking, or one more parking spot would void the parking done by this board.
It's academic, but yes, they could. So.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out, because I thought when I looked at this, it was coming in, putting the cart before the horse, was I saw the variance, it coming in here for Board of Adjustments under this, and I saw where miniature golf should have been a conditional use. And I just thought C1 would have been an automatic, but it comes in on the conditional.
If it was indoors, it wouldn't require a conditional use.
Yeah.
Because it's outdoor recreation, it requires a conditional use.
And the outdoor one also is, gets a little lost. But with the outdoor one where you need the conditional use, but there was a thing with different things coming through and different comments at the County Council level. It seemed like listening to when they're speaking, to not be surprised what's done, like with green lighting approvals, because the county approves something, like the hospital, I believe, when it did their height variance, nothing was said about the hearing, about going in for the variance after the hearing. And then they came in front of you for the variance, for the height. So it seemed like during different conversation, people wanted it more up front.
So what is, why are you opposed to this application?
I'm opposed for it because anything that this board can pass off to Planning and Zoning should go to Planning and Zoning and County Council. I don't believe that this board is as informed with the commission, with the county, with the Planning and Zoning Commission that are on that board concerning with the traffic, which you're going to hear, figuring out the parking congestion. They hear all this and look at the site plans more and going through it. And you're going to pass something on it to where you're trying to pass a use where you have, maybe have different rules, different understanding. And it should have been, I'm mainly agitated. I thought it should have went to the conditional use first and then parking second. Because if they would have said we can live with the parking in a condition, it could have been green lighted. I think it went backwards. I don't feel that you should be doing.
Well, that's not why we're here. What we have before us, why are you opposed to these variances that they are asking for? That's what I'm asking you.
I'm opposed for the variances being done first because you say you give them the 55 foot off the variance or whatever the variance is. But then during the county council, if they say no, we're going to move it back or we want this.
Well, you don't know what we haven't made a decision.
No, but I would have thought that before you would, to give you, this board, the direction, I would think that it would have went and hit a planning and zoning hearing with those five members, then gone through a county council hearing, have all the consequences coming back between connectivity with all the parking that you keep on bringing up. They deal with it every, mostly all the meetings, about going through the subdivisions, all the all the commercial buildings going through, they have a pretty good handle for connectivity and connecting everything and understanding it. And these are going to come in here for parking and coming through. I just take it that it's the wrong place for it to be heard.
Thank you. Mr. Stack?
If you got anything, you send them, Mr. Whitehouse. Yeah, Mr. Clerk. Is that you, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Good evening.
Hi. Thank you all for the opportunity to comment tonight. I appreciate it. My name is Keith Stack. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the Vice President of the Delaware Coalition for Open Government, or DELCOG for short. I'm here tonight to comment on the proposed miniature golf course. First, let me say it was difficult knowing about this case and exactly what it was until I saw the actual packet. I didn't realize it was a miniature golf course. It's not, there's no reference in the description, in the public notice or anything as to what it actually is about. So it would be, to me, in the interest of transparency and public awareness, to put some kind of a little blurb like that in. You know, you could do it like the previous case, just say shed, subdivision, something like that. I think that would help the public be aware of it, and you might get more interest in either for or against. So I would ask that you consider doing that. Second, I have a concern about this being considered as a variance as opposed to conditional use. From what I can see in the property search results, the property zoned as C1, listed as general business, which I believe is actually identified as general commercial per Article 11 in the county code. And from what I can find in the county code, the zoning district, that zoning only allows for an outdoor miniature golf course under conditional use. Third, aside from the issue of whether it should be a conditional use or a variance or whatever, it still raises a number of concerns. One of which is reducing the setback in the front yard from 60 feet to 5 feet. That's a 92% reduction. That's not a variance. That's, you know, an extreme divergence from what's consistent with the intent of setbacks. Similarly, 15-foot reduction from a 20-foot coastal highway buffer is a 75-foot reduction. That's a huge, huge change from the intent. Plus, I don't even know whether that would leave room for a sidewalk if that's required. That issue of being so close to the highway, to me, seems like that's a really dangerous safety hazard for both drivers and potentially the users of the golf course. The proposed miniature golf course would practically be on the highway at that point, and it would be a distraction. It looks like a lovely proposal. But I think it could be distracting to drivers, and it's certainly going to be distracting to kids in the car or somebody else. And if they scream or they yell at the drivers, it's a potential hazard. The other thing about it is I can't tell, is there going to be some kind of fencing? Is there going to be something else, some kind of barrier there? Because if kids are playing and they hit the ball accidentally and it goes flying out onto the road.
The applicant did state that they were going to have a 42-inch netting.
Yeah, I think they said they were going to have some pillars, and then there was going to be 42-foot tall netting between those pillars.
Okay. See, that wasn't in the public record, so.
That's why we asked them the question tonight.
Right. So I appreciate hearing that, but then what does that do to the visibility, et cetera? So it seems to me that there's a real safety concern there. There's also no sidewalks. If you look at the presentation there are no sidewalks around it. So people are going to try and cross down in the middle of that or down closer to the tip of the point and go across the highway. And we already have problems with pedestrian accidents and deaths. So that safety issue should be a real serious consideration. The other issue, and I know you've talked about it, is the parking spaces. That seems to be a real problem because, again, if this is going to consume almost all of that space, I think on the design plans it shows six spaces on the north edge of that towards the crab house there. Well, six spaces is not much. People coming in, chances are there are going to be people who have kids, strollers, maybe adults, grandparents who need wheelchair or mobility devices of some type or other. So parking is going to be is definitely a concern. The other question is, how much traffic is this going to generate? Both foot traffic as well as vehicular traffic in that area. And I know you all just provided some information about DelDOT, but that wasn't in here, wasn't part of the public
record. It was less than 50 cars per day, it said.
That's hard to believe, honestly. I don't know what you're projecting for business, for foot traffic on that, but it seems like, you're talking several hundred people a day coming in there. And I'm sorry, I don't buy 50 cars coming in.
And to correct Madam Chair, it's 50 cars per hour.
Okay. Thank you.
That was what the estimate was from DelDOT in the letter.
Okay, great. Well, thank you.
Yep.
Because that does seem like a real issue there. And speaking of DelDOT, what is DelDOT going to require along Route 1 there? I know there's no discussion of, or there's no existing sidewalks, but is DelDOT going to say you need to put sidewalks in? It just seems logical, I think, as they upgrade crossings and do things around, that they're asking, telling people, businesses and the like, you have to put more sidewalks in. It's an issue of public safety. It's an issue of pedestrian safety to have sidewalks. So I think that's another issue. In the packet of information, there's a diagram of a building that's 12 feet by 17 feet under the Knicks mini golf measurements. This document here, it's 12 by 17, but I don't see it on the drawing for this. I see a 10 foot by 10 foot kiosk, but I don't see another building, the dimensions that is presented here. So something else to consider on that. And let's see, I think the traffic, I think we've talked about the traffic. So those are my concerns, and I think they're legitimate. You all have already discussed them. So I think they warrant very, very serious consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Would you like to rebut?
Yes, I would. Thank you. For the first party that spoke, I would like to address that was more process-oriented rather than application-specific, and I did meet with Mr. Whitehouse multiple times about our reasoning for coming to you first for the variances, because there's no reason for us to go for the conditional use if we can't get the variances. Secondly, with the second person that spoke, again, the first part of his argument was process-oriented as well. I would like to address that with respect to the front yard, we understand that we are asking for a 55-foot variance, but we believe that this is a low-impact use for the area. Also, immediately what pops to my mind is the seashell shop that's right on Route 1. If you know where that is, it's across from Super G. That is right on Route 1 as well, as an example of another miniature golf course that is on the highway. I know that property is raised. Our property could be tilled and raised as well, if that would provide for a means of safety, and we would obviously have, like there, as Mr. O'Neill suggested, fencing along to really distinguish the border and provide an elevated piece or elevated golf course if that would provide for safety. Parking spaces, again, I'd like to emphasize, we're not asking for a complete nix of parking, we're just asking for a reduction and to be allowed to have off-site parking if possible. We would appreciate an approval with possibility of conditioning approval with submission of a shared parking study before the Planning and Zoning Commission when we go before them for our conditional use. Also, to finally address the building that will be that will serve as the kiosk is 12 by 17 and not 10 by 10. To clarify that.
It is 12 by 17?
Yes.
But the plan says 10 by 10.
And then we submitted a subsequent design. It was a follow-up to the plan, and we are going to adjust that for the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing.
Don't you think it should have been submitted here also?
It's in the process of being changed, and we did subsequently submit the kiosk plan as part of the application today. Subsequent to our submission of the original documentation. I also feel the need to address the five letters of support specifically. We received one from Holiday Inn Express from the hotel manager. Mm-hmm. I won't read all of them, but I'd like to read at least two in full. I'm pleased to write this letter to you expressing support for the addition of Nick's Mini Golf in the Quiet Resorts. Mini golf is precisely what you think of when you think of a quiet, family-friendly beach town like ours, and the addition of this business will tremendously enhance the small town atmosphere that we love and promote. The location on Jefferson's Bridge Road is an ideal opportunity to grow leisure tourism outside of Bethany Beach proper, expanding both the physical and economical footprints of tourism further south throughout the town. As our town continues to grow as a year-round travel destination, more family and children activities are needed in the shoulder season. Visitors come here throughout the year with the anticipation of family fun where they can create vacation memories. In addition to being a draw for tourism, Nick's is also a favorite among local. I know Nick's Mini Golf to be a quality business run by quality people, both with an excellent reputation throughout Delmarva. I ask you to consider this new business and the positive impact will undoubtedly have on our community. That's from Bonnie Patterson, hotel manager at Holiday Inn Express. And I just would like to read one more into the record from Bethany Beach Ocean Suites, a residence inn by Marriott, from Lori Miller, area general manager. To whom it may concern, please accept this letter of support for the addition of Nick's Miniature Golf in Bethany Beach, Delaware. There's currently a lack of activities in our area. Reputable businesses like Nick's Mini Golf would increase the desire for visitors to stay in our area. Further, it's a great addition for our local community, both in and off season. The proposed location at Jefferson Bridge Road and Coastal Highway is ideal, as there is ample parking nearby. Nick's Mini Golf is a first-class operation that will lend well to the family atmosphere. Bethany Beach continues to provide both visitors and local community. I look forward to seeing this family-owned business thriving in our community. There are also three letters of support that have similar sentiments as
and
well.
And who signed those?
Lori Miller, area general manager from Bethany Beach Ocean Suites. Susan Todaro of Millville, Delaware. 26340 Wild Air Way, a local resident. We also have a letter from Annalise Ridgway, 33 South William Street, Selbyville, Delaware, 19971, a local resident. And finally, of Frank Barranco, 7 Woodward Way of Dagsboro, Delaware.
Who owns the property where Holiday Inn Express is located?
I believe that's Jack. That is. That's Mr. Jack Burbage's property.
And who owns where Bethany Suites is located?
That is Mr. Jack Burbage's property. And Mr. Jack Burbage is our one of our tenants as part of the lease option here.
Thank you. Okay.
I have a question for
How far are you from Route 1?
How far are we from Route 1 going to be? 5 feet.
5 feet?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to have the netting and the poles, that's it?
Yes, but we are able to raise that land too.
Mm-hmm. I really have a question with safety there. I really do. I mean, somebody else, where they're going to go and the kids be playing golf, that's pretty darn close. And the second thing I got is the parking. When you come off the road, will you be able to see when you come in, mm-hmm. you only got 6 parking places, and it's full. So you got enough room for people to go back out again?
Yes, you can speak. You can speak.
I mean, when you go in and you're full.
Actually, maybe that's wrong. This is a blown up version of the course. So this is where you would be coming in off of Route 1.
Yes.
And then this driveway is already currently there that cuts through the property and that goes to the existing parking.
Oh, so it goes right on straight through.
Exactly.
So they don't have to turn around and go back out again.
Correct.
It didn't show it on here on ours.
Gotcha.
I see that.
Sorry.
Okay.
But they don't have the agreement set for the existing parking.
Yeah.
And it is a very congested parking area.
Now the worry is you have... It's right on the road. You're there's 3 bars at like, and you have people out there probably gonna go right from the bar to play mini golf and hit it right over that 42 inches worth of and all it takes is one.
There's definitely no problem raising the net to a height that you guys determine fit, or if planning and zoning has to make that determination, I don't know. But in terms of the parking, if I may. All of my other courses, like she said, this would be my 7th. With the exception of Dewey, the other courses, the most parking spots those have is 18, because the requirement there is 1 per hole. And it is rare that those parking lots are full, whether that's because business isn't good or because it's the walking traffic that the mini golf business generates. That's more what I assume, because the course will be busy at night, but the parking lot half full.
So the most spaces that you have on any of your locations is 18?
Yes, sir.
But here you've only got 6.
Here we have 6 on and proposing 44 off. So that's even more than I have anywhere
else. Well, I understand that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But that's somebody else's property that they're using for their business, too.
On site at your other locations?
One of them is mixed and shared with a restaurant, similar to this would be. 2 are independent. Actually, and then 3 of the other ones are all on their end. Yeah.
Is that near a beach? Where's that at?
There's Ocean City has 4. Fenwick Island has 1, and then Dewey is the 6th.
You have the one at Route 1 and 54?
Yes, on the south side. The Golf Down Under. Mm-hmm. There's Viking Golf north of me, Golf Down Under, and then
Golf Down Under is Ocean City.
Golf Down Under is actually Delaware.
Right on the line.
It's over the line.
Okay.
It's in kind of no man's land between Ocean City and Fenwick.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
I still have trouble with that buffer.
I agree.
Do you have any other questions? No? Ms. Sharp?
We'll have to digest here, so
I
think I'm sure I do, but
there's
also been a lot disclosed here tonight too. So
we could leave the record open and ask them to come back before us at their next regular meeting.
Well, I think there were a couple items that I noticed from the applicant's presentation that did appear to be some information that may not be ready at the moment. That sounds like, and Ms. Pete can correct me if I'm wrong, that may be forthcoming. One would be some sort of either a shared parking, like a lease agreement, or something that shows specifically the arrangement for spaces on adjacent properties. So the board has that information at hand.
But we may have some other questions. You said, there's a lot.
And I understand. So I'm looking at things that perhaps you may want documentation before the next time we bring this up. Some information as to, bless you, the parking usage on that property where they would be shared. So to the extent, is it overparked, underparked? That would be a something that the applicant provide us information as to the number of spaces on that property and how those properties are used. And perhaps Mr. Whitehouse could then look at that and let us know if that meets, if it has too many. Because frankly, there are places that have more parking than are needed for their uses. Some places are underparked and some are right at the number. And I don't know what that would be on those neighboring properties, but I suspect from the comments we've heard tonight, that would be something you all would be interested in. And then the third one would be, I understand, because the drawing that I have in front of me shows a 10 by 10 kiosk. Ms. Pete's indicated it's now 12 by 17. I don't know how that impacts, you know, where this thing fits in it. It may not be a real big issue, but I think you all would probably like to see that drawing on there so you could at least know what they are proposing, since that has apparently changed of recent time. My suggestion would be, is if the board were so inclined, is to leave the record open for the limited purpose of allowing the applicant to address those three kind of issues, and then to come back before the board for the limited purpose only of answering any questions the board may have regarding those items or any other items regarding this application, but not for, you know, additional, you know, comment or material to be submitted other than what you requested.
Jim, I'd like to see it four. I'd like to see him come back with something different, with a berm or something different on Route 1 with that buffer. I'd like to see something, what they're going to change to make that different.
I agree. I don't think that's safe there.
Yeah. Well, and perhaps what you could say is that we'd like to see something from them showing how they're, something more specific, how they're going to address Route 1 and the safety barrier there.
Yeah.
Why can't we leave it open?
You could just leave it open, period, too. Now, if you do that, then you know, obviously are leaving it open for, you know,
comment.
Well, yeah. And you could have another long night like this, too. Yeah, because you may have folks either for or against that wish to come here and speak as well if you leave it open for that, which is certainly your prerogative. This is an interesting case. We don't see this too often, but that universe would be open more if you did that.
But if you did those five things, I mean, that's questions we really
But still, out. I think the people that live there, they should have the opportunity to speak if they wish, or live in the area, or have an opinion.
That's a fair point, too. But, you know, just caution that if we were to do that, it would, you know, potentially could be a longer hearing, although we would try to narrow it. We've heard this before.
That's so, okay.
Jamie, you said everything out in that whole neighborhood, but what was going on there?
We noticed 200 feet.
200 feet?
Property notice on the front.
So, I mean, I don't know what you're going to get in the 200 feet, really.
That's all.
All commercial, so I mean.
Okay, so we don't have any other questions. I will not close the public hearing, and I will entertain a motion to keep the public hearing open until our next regular meeting for the information that...
Well, somebody would... I think you just entertain a motion, and what motion comes up is the motion that comes up, Madam Chair.
Okay, well...
Will that give you enough time?
Yes. By March 2nd?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, we've not got the motion yet.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I
told them what I wanted, but whatever. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we table case number 12416 for...
Are you tabling it or you want to leave the record open?
I want to leave the record open.
Then we're not tabling it.
Okay.
You would be moving to leave the record open and whatever you would go to say then.
Well, I think we need to leave the record open for the... completely open.
Yes.
That's what I would like to do.
So then what I would suggest is that it be left open and put on the agenda for the next regular scheduled meeting, at which time the board will consider the application and
very good.
Any comments that may come in.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Workman.
Aye.
Mr. Williamson.
Aye.
Mr. Carson.
Aye.
Mr. Corman.
Aye.
And I too. So with a vote of 5-0, the application will remain open till our next meeting, March 2nd.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Board Members.
Thank you.